I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to Bob Burney Live. Welcome and thank you for joining me. Welcome to our listeners in Columbus, Ohio on WRFD, The Word. And welcome also to our listeners in the Washington, D.C. area on WAVA 105.1 FM. Don Crow, the old Crow himself, is away from the microphone for a couple of days. And I have the privilege of hosting both programs. So I welcome you. Now, let me give you my telephone number. It is, I assume, familiar to my listeners here in Ohio, but very unfamiliar to our listeners in the D.C. area. But it works, you know, either place. 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Well, WAVA is in Washington, D.C., but it certainly covers a good portion of Virginia. And those of you listening in Virginia, you've got quite a battle on your hands. You have a brand new governor, Glenn Youngkin. Now, I don't know much about new Governor Youngkin, but I certainly like his first day in office. He issued several executive orders that I thought were wonderful, but most impressive to me, on the day of his inauguration, and those of you in Virginia, and maybe those outside of Virginia, you may have seen the video. On the day of his inauguration, and his wife and his core leadership team come, and they stood around the seal of the state of Virginia, held hands, and prayed. Now, when was the last time you saw a governor do something like that? Now, that would not have been unusual 100 years ago. Not at all. No, not unusual at all. Today, oh, yeah, very unusual. But anyway, congratulations to Governor Glenn Youngkin for setting that kind of example his first day in office. But he's already got a battle on his hands. Here is a headline from today, because one of the executive orders was dismissing the mask mandate from the previous administration for public schools and so on and so forth. He said, nope. If parents want their children to wear a mask in school, fine. I fully support their right to have their own children wear a mask to school. However, if parents do not think that is in the best interest of their child, they cannot be forced. Well, the public schools are fighting the brand new governor. In fact, here is a headline. Virginia schools attempt to defy Governor Glenn Youngkin, doubling down on masking. Subheadline. Virginia public schools attempt to defy Governor Glenn Youngkin. Public schools in Virginia are doubling down on their mask rules in light of a slew of executive orders signed by newly sworn-in Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, asserting, quote, they will continue to require all individuals to wear masks. Now, the story also goes on. He signed an executive order prohibiting critical race theory. Good for him. Now, he doesn't use CRT or critical race theory. He simply forbids teaching that or classifies people in any way, shape, or form by race. In other words, equality. In other words, what Martin Luther King Jr. wanted. A culture or society does not judge people by the color of their skin, but rather by their character. So anyway, many of the schools, not all of them, but many school districts in Virginia are saying, hey, we don't care what the governor says. We are going to require masks anyway. Now, here's the fascinating thing. The educational community is supposed to support science, right? I mean, isn't that part of what public education is all about? Following the data, research, clear science? Well, I double dog dare you to give me any clear scientific evidence that children need to wear masks, number one, need to. And then secondly, most of the kids are wearing simple cloth masks. And I double dog dare you to find any solid scientific evidence that a plain, simple cloth mask is effective for COVID-19, especially the Omicron variant. In fact, it's interesting, on the day that Virginia public schools have publicly said, we don't care what the governor says, we're going to make those kids wear masks, on the very same day, the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, that, as you have noticed, changes their view and opinion on what works and what doesn't work just about as often as most people change their socks. In fact, probably some people change their socks. Well, anyway, the CDC just a few months ago said, got to wear a mask, cloth mask, any mask, we don't care. I mean, you know, the medical masks are more effective, but any mask works. Well, they have admitted now that simple cloth masks are basically useless. Their words are, and I'm quoting from the CDC, provide the least protection. Yeah, in other words, they're basically worthless. The cloth masks. So now they're saying, don't wear cloth masks. They don't work. Well, for almost 2 years now, you've been telling us they work. And now they're saying, well, you know, they don't work. But you should wear a K95 or an N95 or a KN95. Yeah, well, and then there's a lot of controversy about that. So I think once again, we see public school systems kind of ignoring science.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
Again, welcome to Bob Burney Live. Welcome to our listeners in Ohio. Welcome to our listeners in the Washington, D.C. area. And speaking of Washington, D.C., we have the privilege of talking to Solomon from Washington, D.C. Solomon, I am honored that you have called today. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Solomon, I am blessed far more than I deserve.
Oh, that's wonderful. God is good, isn't he?
Amen. Amen. Hey, what's on your mind? Man.
You said something about the happy or thrilled about that the new governor of Virginia was not going to act with that. But I, as an African-American man and has experienced racism all of my life since I've been born, I think that it should be included in the teachings in school. Many whites need to know some of the history of what white blacks have experienced in this country, and to push it away and to act as though it didn't really mean anything and to get over it, you know, that's not fair. Especially as Christians, I mean, you should really want to know the history of your brothers and sisters who have encountered hardships because of another race, and how one race benefited from it and gain privileges and entitlements from it. And so I think that it's only fair that that's taught in the schools so that all races, especially our white brothers and sisters, can understand the pain. It's not just something that somebody just says, oh, we just want you to do this, but it's a painful thing that we have experienced that someone else can experience and understand the pain. I think that would help us as a country come together, because the United States is known as a divided country when it comes to racism.
Hey, Solomon, wait.
Yes, Bob. Yes.
I want to give you plenty of time. I really do, but I don't want to run out of time.
I appreciate it. I can cut off so that you can go ahead.
Okay.
I just wanted to get that point in.
And that's fine. Please don't hang up. I agree with, I think, 99.9% of everything you said. I think real history should be taught. I think the horrors of slavery should be taught openly, honestly. I don't think it should be sugarcoated. I don't think it should be swept under the rug. But I also do not believe that we are to teach that if you are a white person, simply because of the color of your skin, you are this or that. Or if you are a black person, simply because of the color of your skin, you are this or that. Martin Luther King Jr. fought and died for the principle that we would finally stop judging people for the color of their skin, but rather for their character. Critical race theory turns that upside down and inside out and says, regardless of what you have done, what you have accomplished, where you've been from, no matter how hard you've worked, if you are black, you are part of the oppressed. And you just can't get ahead. And if you're white, it doesn't make any difference what you have done, what you've accomplished, what poverty you have experienced. You have privilege simply because of the color of your skin. It means that a LeBron James, who is a multi-millionaire, is oppressed because he's black. A white person living in Appalachia that doesn't even have indoor plumbing is privileged simply because of the color of their skin. And I don't think you agree with that, do you? Oh, he hung up. Oh, Solomon, I wanted to talk. Oh, I'm so sorry he hung up. Because I wanted to discuss this with him. See, here's the problem. I don't think that many people understand what critical race theory is. Critical race theory divides people not by their character, but by the color of their skin. This is everything that the civil rights movement in America fought against. It assumes things just because of the color of your skin. And for a young black individual in the public schools that is being taught this, they're being taught, well, you probably won't get ahead like the white kids do because, well, you've been put down, you've been oppressed, the whole system is against you, the government is against you. In fact, many proponents of critical race theory say that the whole system is stacked against you so that you cannot succeed simply because you are black. What does that do to a young black man or a young black woman? It tells them you are doomed because of the color of your skin, rather than telling them, you know what, this is America. It's not perfect, never has been, probably never will be. But you have incredible opportunities. If you work hard, you have incredible opportunity. And the thing that just blows my mind the most is when I look at professional athletes, like the NFL. The NFL is somewhere between 70 and 80% black. The average NFL player is a multimillionaire. Average. I'm talking average NFL player is a multimillionaire. Nearly 80% of them are black. And yet, those same African Americans want young people in school to be taught, well, you're oppressed. You can't get ahead. Instead of taking a public platform, this is what drives me nuts about our own Ohio LeBron James and other like him. What an opportunity he has to say, hey, it's hard. It's tough. But take a look at me. I came from a poor neighborhood. I was raised by a single mother. I had a lot of things to overcome. And now I am one of the wealthiest Americans. I rule over a literal financial empire. And if I can do it, you can do it. Instead, we have LeBron James talking about oppression. Are you kidding me? And that's why I think critical race theory is so unbelievably dangerous. Anything that assumes things about you or me because of the color of our skin, all of us, white, black, yellow, we should all reject that, particularly as Christians. The Bible is so clear. There is no Jew. There is no Greek. We come to Christ the same. Sinners, separated from God because of our sin, and the color of our skin has nothing to do with it. The only color that matters is the red blood of Jesus that makes us all one. That's the only important thing. Critical race theory denies that. And it should be rejected by anybody. All right. 877-BOB-LIVE is the number. I've got one phone line available. Somebody grab it. We'll be back.